The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right. Okay, so this morning we are in the fourth part of how the world works. We are pretty much landing it. We are, of course, we'll come back and continue because there's just so much. If you've missed any of the teachings, in fact, if you've been here from the beginning, like I would say, you want to get the teaching and listen to it over and over. Your children will thank you for it. Your grandchildren will thank you for it. It is so powerful because many times, because of all the noises around us, we are confused. I mean, this person is saying this, and they're saying it so convincingly. That person is saying this, they're saying it so, it's sweating, it's so passionate, you know. And you just say rubbish, you know. And you need to know how the world works so that you are not thrown and tossed about to and fro. Holy word. Long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us go in this world where we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me. And changing you, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. And so it is and shall be. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We are not to be tossed to and fro. I mean, the Word of God already knows that this time will come where, you know, people are tossed to and fro. But you are not going to be, in the name of Jesus. You are going to be grounded. You are going to understand how God works. Your life is going to be rooted in God, in the name of Jesus. So like we explained, if you pull up our diagram again, you see that, you know, there are things that are available in God and available in God alone. They are not available to men. And those things are innumerable and they are inexhaustible. So there are things, the secret things belongs to God. He is exclusively. However, the Bible says the things that are revealed, the things that are released, are for the benefit of us and our children. I think that's Deuteronomy 29:29. The benefit of us and our children. So while there are some things in God, available in God, some things have been made available to men. And the process of that happening is called prayer. It's a process of mercy. It's a process of grace where God, through his grace and his mercy, by the orchestration of the prayers of men, have made certain things available to you, to humanity. And so you're like, okay, so what about people that didn't pray and the things are available to them? Exactly. Somebody else prayed. The way it works is that there are people that are praying, they're praying in tongues, they don't even know what they're praying about. Do you know that? There are people that have prayed for centuries. And those things are available. Now, the sad thing is that there are things that are available to men, but are not delivered to men. Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was begging. Lazarus is a child of covenant. He had access to the Abrahamic covenant, obviously. But he was begging on earth. There are things that are available to him, but they were not delivered to him. You will take delivery of the things that are available to you. And by prayer, you will make things available to your children and your children's children. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, by your priesthood, you will make things available for your generation yet to come. In the name of Jesus. But we should realize that the things, as we've been teaching, you know, I've been going over and over and over it. The reason I've gone over it is because if you get it, this thing, if you get it, it will blow up your life in a good way. In fact, it's huge. It's big. It's big. The things that are available to men are only delivered to men by innovation, by the vehicle of innovation. Someone must innovate. Somebody must engage that process of innovation. And you need to realize that innovation, as we explained, can be expressed in an equation of inspiration and perspiration. But unfortunately, when people think of innovation, they're just thinking of inspiration part of it. Innovation, there's an iterative part of innovation where you keep going back to the drawing board. You are designing the software. It's crashing. You are going back to the drawing board. You are redesigning. You are redesigning. You are prospering. You are prospering. You are prospering. Then, boom, you come up with something that apparently has been delivered by heaven to bless humanity. And they say you're a lucky man. Or they say that, you know, oh, it was just blessed. Listen, everybody is blessed. You can be blessed. You can be in that category of people where you understand that there are things that have been released to men, but are not delivered to men, and engage the vehicle of innovation. I mean, more on that, please listen to the previous teachings. So many times, we want to get by prayer things that are only delivered by innovation. And that's why prayer meetings are so packed and principles, teachings are so sparse. And you're like, I'm like, if only people knew that how to move from point A to point B while you must pray, you must continue to pray. There are different types of prayer. We've explained that. It is innovation that we take delivery of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The component of understanding how the world really works, like, you know, my rabbi would say, like I have explained to you in the past, is that your heart must be functioning well for your world to be. Your heart must be functioning well for your world to be. Your heart must be functioning well for your world to be functioning well. If your heart is not functioning well, your world will not function well. So to understand how the world really works, you must understand that the thing that makes your world function well is your heart. And you need to tie this back to everything we have been teaching. Your heart must be functioning well. Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you need to understand the principle of scripture. If your life is filled with the words you speak, the more you keep saying, oh, I'm lonely, guess what? Your loneliness will tie wrapper. Do you understand? However, listen, you say, but Pastor, I'm lonely. Yeah. But guess what? Adam was alone, but Adam was not lonely. Loneliness is an emotional state. Loneliness is not a function of your predicament. You see, many times we think that, oh, this is the place function of my predicament. If only God has answered my prayers, I will not be lonely. No, loneliness is a function of your mind. It's a function of your heart. Why wasn't Adam lonely? Adam was engaged in the purposes of God. There is no way you'll be engaged in the purposes of God and you'll be... Do you know that you can be married and be lonely? Oh, yeah. You can be married and be lonely. And you are not even fighting. You are not even fighting. You know, because people kind of paint marriage bad as though it's just filled with fights and stuff. No, you are not even fighting. But you are lonely. Listen. If you understand that your world is shaped by the words you speak, and your words can only carry the weight of the content of your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you realize that your heart, that unspoken part of you that you are musing over, is actually making your life beautiful or making your life disastrous. Your heart. How your heart is determine how your world shapes out. And because it's not a switch, it's like it's something that is being built and being built. So if you want to undo it, you have to rebuild. John 6:43 says that for a good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. It's so powerful. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. A good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. And a bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. Because by their fruit, you will know them. But guess what? You know, when it says by their fruit you will know them, it is not as though the tree struggles, okay, I'm going to bring up for good fruit because I want people to know me for good fruit. God is saying it is how the tree is that determines how the fruit is. Because a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. If your heart is bad, your heart is filled with jealousy. It's filled with, you know, all those bad things. You see someone doing good, you're like, They're just lucky. Mm. Look at a head, like a coconut head. Mm. You know, you're not even happy for people. You're not even good. The heart. I'm talking about basics here. Even if you smile with everybody, even if you now begin to say, things are, it will be bad fruit. Because a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. But if you pay attention to your heart and you make sure your heart is in the right place, guess what? The things you say will be good fruit. Your words will begin to reshape and rebuild your life. Because it is the tree that determines the fruit. Even though it is by the fruit that we recognize the tree. But it is the tree that determines the fruit. Even though it is by the fruit we recognize the tree. By their fruit, we know them. Recognition. However, a good tree only produces good fruit. Production. Hallelujah. The heart is so powerful. It's so powerful. Years ago, I've shared this story before. My spiritual father was going to be with the Lord. You all know him, you should know him if you don't. Pastor Esco. And for some reason, I got up from Lagos. Obviously, it must be the Lord. I bought a ticket and I went to London to see him. Now, I didn't want to tell him I came to see him, you know, because I was like, it may rebuke me. I say, why? You know, it's like that. Why did you have to? Don't worry. You know? So I told this story as though I came to say, my sister was in London at the time. My brother is still in London, still in the UK. And so I told the story as if I came to see my sister, my brother. I'm just stopping by to see him. And he looked at me and said, Femi, why are you in London? At that point, of course, I couldn't lie. At that point, you know, I said, I came to see you, sir. And he laughed. He says, I knew you came to see me. Why all the long stories you are saying? Anyway, he said something to me. He said many things to me, you know. Precious things written down. He said, but one of the things he said to me was, your heart, Femi. I mean, it's a good heart. Thank God, he's the one that said it. I didn't say it myself. He says, Femi, you have a good heart. I've watched you over the years. You have a good heart. You are going to go very far. Don't worry about what's happening. Don't worry about what's happening or what can happen around you. Just keep your heart being good. Because this work is a heart work. That hit me like a thunderbolt. Since this work we are doing for God is a heart work. It's not about the loudest. It's not about the most. It is a heart work. And many other things on that I've shared, I mean, in time past. And coming back from London at the time, I mean, it was my mind was like expanded. It's like, it's a hard work. But I can tell you, I mean, it's going to be 20 years next year that I've been pastoring. I can tell you it's a hard work. It is a hard work. Even when you add the years of being a Christian, even as a believer, it is not even primarily as a believer. It is a hard work. It's a hard work. Samuel, God has said to him, go and ordain a king for me. Go and ordain a king for me in the house of Jesse. Samuel got there. This lad, let me tell you. Samuel is not a kwekwe prophet. In fact, he's not a is the number one prophet of the land. When Samuel comes to a city, the city governors and leaders, they are peeing in their pants. When it comes to a state, let's say Samuel is visiting Taraba State. Taraba State governor, his hand is behind him. Say, well done, sir. Is everything okay? You know, he's peeing in his pants. You know, that was Samuel. Samuel came to the house of Jesse. Everybody is on their feet. He was there to ordain a king by God's instructions. And he got to the house of Jesse. And he saw Eliab, Jesse's first son. Big, he was in the military. Big chest, deep voice, bearded gang, bad guys. Had steez, came out. Samuel said, the Lord's anointed. Surely, this is the Lord's anointed. And God says, no. May God not reject you in the name of Jesus. In fact, you have been accepted. You are God's favorite child in the name of Jesus. God said to him, no, for I rejected him. Shammah came. It must be me. Shammah is the one that organizes the parties, you know. The pastor, you know, I didn't know. I just said that, you know. But it was charismatic. Oh, he says, it must be this one. God says, no. It is not. Simeon came. Boom. Boom, boom. Say, surely. God says, nope. And he went like that to all the sons, and each of them were handsome, leadership qualities. God said, no. I have found a man after my heart. May God find you after his heart. May you be after God's heart. May you leave all the, you know, fairity, and just pay attention to God. I found a man after my heart. As Samuel said, we will not sit down until he comes. And these are your children. He says, Jesse said, no, sir. By this time, Jesse was sweating. They had AC on, but he was sweating. Okay, they didn't have AC. You know, I've just been, graphic here, you know. But he was sweating. Must have been. And he said, we will not sit until he comes. The boy was in the wilderness. He was in the bush taking care of sheep. And someone said, he will not sit down. They say, we are in trouble today. He must have, let's go and get this boy. They will search for you in the name of Jesus. They will not sit down. And chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, verse 7, chapter 16, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, this is so powerful, don't judge by the appearance or height. Is a tech bro. He's 6 feet. He's over 6 feet. He's this. He's that. Don't judge by the height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. May God find your heart worthy in the name of Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says to us that let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Let the peace rule your heart. This is a generation that is has paid a lot of attention to mental health. Rightly so, you know, in the sense that it's beneficial, correct? So, one word for mental health, to be mentally healthy, is peace of mind. That is all. What is depression? What is anxiety? What is perpetual frame? What is Christophenia? What is it's lack of, when peace is withdrawn from the mind, that's why people are burnt out, people are depressed, people are, peace of mind God will give to you in the name of Jesus. He says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule your heart. But guess what? Your heart must be clear for your heart to have peace. Your heart must be clear for your heart to have peace. Your heart must be clear. Must be clear for your heart to have peace. You must let the peace of God, you must allow it. So it means that you have the power to disallow the peace of God to rule in your heart. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, get rid. So your heart must be clear for your heart to have peace. So what should your heart be clear of? What should you clear your heart of? You should clear your heart of all bitterness. Get rid of all what? Bitterness. Get rid. Remove. Get rid of all bitterness. Every single one. Now, you know, if the scriptures have said, get rid of bitterness, you know, some of us can live with that. But God knows that. The way we are. So you put all there. Get rid of all bitterness. Sometimes you feel that you are entitled to be bitter based on something that someone said or has done to you. You forgive everybody else, but this one thing. God says all. All means what? All bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of rage. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And, you know, rage, you could think, you will say that it's not even synonymous to being a Christian, but we all sometimes manifest rage. Some people are so uncontrolled, and it's even road rage, you know. I know someone. My wife was telling me about someone that we both know. That had so much road rage in Lagos. You know, you can say that, oh, Lagos will bring out the beastie people. Lagos drive up. You know, back then, you know, Molue. We still have Molue. Do we still have Molue? Ah, we need Molue in Lagos as iconic. Anyway, this driver wasn't even a Molue driver or something. The person was having like a road rage with this driver and was chasing the driver, hitting the car. The person damaged a car. I will show you. So at the end of the day, when the rage has come down, the person now started to look at the car and say, hey, look at my car. And that's what rage does. It makes you behave like a fool. That at the end of the day, when you look at your life, you're like, should I have, you know, done that? Should I have done that? And the scripture separated rage from anger. And he also says, because as sometimes you can look at people that exhibit rage and say, oh, yeah, pastor, yeah, preach it, pastor, that those people, yeah. Rage. They need to get rid of rage. If as it's going on like this, you're checking if your cousin is in church. I mean, I hope you can hear. She needs to get rid of rage. But God now also put anger there. So you could think it's the same, it's different. You know, he decided to separate them. So get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger. So you think that you don't manifest rage. Me, I just get angry, you know. But I you know, my own, I don't let it. God says get rid of it. Get rid of it. And, you know, to progress on, now here's one that, you know, you could say, it's pretty tough. Get rid of harsh words. Say, but Pastor, this person deserves the harsh words I'm going to give her. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. Okay, like I would say, you're giving this person a piece of your mind. You're giving the other person another piece of your mind. You're giving another person another piece of your mind. So you have pieces of your mind scattered everywhere. Get rid of all the harsh words. Harsh words. Don't speak harsh words to your spouse. Don't speak harsh words to your children. Don't speak harsh words. Get rid of all the harsh words. You know, like I said, when I taught this, you know, a few weeks ago, that, you know, that's one area God has been helping me with. You know, but it's the word of God. There's nothing anybody can do about it. You just have to allow it to change your life. Holy words, long preserved. And it's not done. It's not done yet. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Slander. What is slander? Slander. It's like gossip. When you say something bad about someone. Slander is not libel. Libel is slander, but written, right? The written, I would say, libel is not in the Bible. It's because everything that is said is written. So let's just keep it as slander. So people are so slanderous. Get rid of slander. If you don't have anything good to say about this person, keep your mouth shut. It's okay to be quiet. It's actually okay to be quiet. Hey, I said it. That boy, you know, and you slander the person. Those are the things that contribute to mental health problem. They are the foundation of mental health. I'm showing you the connections here. So, because those things are in the mind, they fill people's mind, the peace of God cannot find room in people's heart. And because the peace of God does not find room, people have all sorts of mental health challenges. Your heart must be functioning well for your world to be. How the world works. Your heart must be functioning well for your world to be. So your heart is so powerful. As we tie things up, your world works by the words that you speak. So the world works by the word. But your words work by your heart. It is your heart that determines the potency of your words and the effectiveness of your words. And if you want to make your world work, you have to make your words work. And if you want to make your words work, that's you have to make your heart work. You see, that's why one person can say, go, and it will go. And the other person will say, go, and the thing is standing there giddy. What's the difference? The heart. One person's heart is making the words potent. The other person's heart is filled with jabajantis. So the words means nothing. So if you want to make your world work, you have to make your words work. And if you want to make your words work, you have to make your heart work. Let's bow our hearts as we bow our heads as we pray. I want to pray with you. If you are here, you're like, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus, because a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit, and a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit. So, Pastor, I want to make my tree good so that my fruit will be good. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. If you are online, we want to pray with you also. And we'll turn it over to the RP.
Amen. With all heads bowed, all hearts bowed, focused on Jesus. You heard the call. We don't need to re-emphasize the call. It's a heart walk. And your first step is to commit your heart to Jesus. You're here this morning and you're ready. You know there's no better time than this. Father, we thank you for your children that are committing their hearts unto you today. Your word says you stand at the door of their hearts and you have knocked. Lord, these ones have responded. We ask that you come in now and make your sup with them in Jesus' name. Father, transform these hearts by the power of your word. Let their lives, my Father, begin to bring forth the fruits that causes the world to glorify you. Honor and glory be given unto you. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. We still are going to pray. That message was a powerful, powerful message. And I just, one of the things Papi said was that for us to move from point A to point B, we need innovation. And the scripture tells us in Proverbs 22:29 that a man diligent in his way will stand before kings, will not stand before men. Proverbs 22:29 says in the NIV, a man that is diligent in his ways will not stand before mean men, will stand before kings. So I want us to please rise on our feet. We're going to pray. Even before we move any further, we're going to pray. Choir will help us with this song. Into my heart. Into my heart. And I want you to sing that from the bottom of your heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come on, from the bottom of your heart, into my heart, Lord, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in today. Come into my the choir continues to help us with that song. I want you to just begin to cry out to the Lord. This is not accepting Christ. You're just asking Christ to come and take total control of your heart, that he fills your heart till there's no room for anything else. Cry out to the Lord. Ask him to fill your heart till there's room for nothing else. Nothing else. Mahata Hazayele. Oh, into my heart. Ask him to come into the heart of the ones that surround you, your loved ones, that the words that will come from the mouth of people, even into your hearing, were the words that has come from the Holy Spirit. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come, come and live perpetually in this heart. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. Let sincerity begin to come. That's it. That's it. Begin to cry out to him. Oh, Lea Shata, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Hey, Mania do sekebalaka yedelebada. Mania na ele asanta. The answer to that prayer is a pure heart. The answer to that prayer is a pure heart. The answer to that prayer is forgiveness. Mania kanuma ande basutu loko yata yande. Rebregedoma and Kayelo Boshia da Zoto de Baboko Yala, Mamande Baba Bosha, La Kayede Aliaha. Oh, I want to bear good fruits, Lord. Oh, Tekima de Lebobos Yete, Manananania Sante, Kamumahande, Rebabos Yata. Come on, cry out. Ah, Yele Lebobo,
Sieke koko mande le bobo bo te kedegede. Manande atata liaka siato bayade leba. Father, I don't want to go back with the same heart that has been judgmental. The critical heart, Lord. Oh man, they come on set to many man novo cosiete. Lada baba shiata. Into my heart, Lord. Oh, siakata yele. Maranda babo shiata lada le. Oh, siata na fana give us pure hearts.
Lord
Luke 6:43, the NIV version. Papa used that during the teaching. It says, no good tree bears bad fruits. Our lives will bear good fruits in Jesus' name. And it says, nor does a bad tree bear good fruits. Your life will not bear bad fruits in the mighty name of Jesus. Your heart will not be a bad tree. Your life will not be a bad tree in Jesus' name. So I'm going to say, Father, root out everything and anything that does not produce the desirable fruits for my purpose. In the name of Jesus, begin to cry out to the Lord, everything that has brought undesirable fruits. And you can begin to look at your life now. Maybe it's your relationship that are not working the way that you want them to work. Ask the Lord, that thing that is the source of that undesirable fruit, which is poor relationships. Father, root it out in the name of Jesus. Oh, you cannot be pretentious before the king right now. What has been bringing out lust in your life? Mayanda, you have been struggling with lust season after season. Mekimato sole bahanda, mabroto kosiada. You find yourself going back to pornography. Ah, marukubo kosiata anda yereba. You are hinged on substances. Oh, the scripture says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Mane katosi yedelele. Make up your mind today that you will not leave this place. Oh, the same way you have come. Today you are asking the Lord to perform a surgery in your heart. A surgery in your heart. That your world will begin to reflect the state of your heart. What is it that is causing you to dwell perpetually in lack? Root out everything, oh, that produces undesirable fruits in my life. Search me true and true, Lord. Root out anything that does not please you. Oh, give me the heart that carries your purpose, Father. In the name of Jesus. Mandeka sutelebo komahandiande. Rosso bregadegadegade. Thank you, faithful Father. Lord, we give you praise and all the glory. Honor and glory we give unto you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. They will search for you because of your heart in Jesus' name. The same way Samuel said that we will not sit until David arises. Because the Lord has purified your heart this morning, we declare that kings will not sit until you arise. In the name of Jesus. Because the Lord has performed the surgery in your heart this morning, we declare that your place will not be given unto another. In the mighty name of Jesus. And because the Lord has performed the surgery in your heart, even you will not judge situations by the sight of your eyes or the hearing of your ears. The Lord will give you eyes that see. The Lord will give you ears that hear. In the name of Jesus, you will divide correctly. You will judge correctly. And you will prosper. And the whole world will give praise to your Father. Honor and glory we give unto you, Father. Honor and glory we give unto your name. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you.